Welcome back to the third episode of Gavel Talk, a Model UN podcast. Today we'll be talking all about the flow of committee. How does committee progress from the start to the end? What's the chair and the delegates' role in all of it? And what are the different parts of committee, from moderated caucuses, unmoderated caucuses, to resolutions and voting? We'll be expanding on what we talked about in the inaugural episode. Let's get started. All right, let's get started. If you didn't listen to the inaugural episode, I would highly recommend you go back and listen to that. It's just a couple episodes down, and that will give you a really strong understanding of how the basic structure of Model UN is. I'll give a quick recap here. So essentially, the way Model UN works is that you start with everyone giving opening speeches. So usually a few people have the opportunity to give a pretty long, usually 90-second opening speech talking about their position on the topic. Unfortunately, usually only 4 or 5 people get to give an opening speech in a committee, which means that committee actually moves on pretty quickly to the main part of committee, the bread and butter, so to speak, which are moderated caucuses. And so moderated caucuses are just opportunities for any delegate to raise their hand and speak about a specific topic. Moderated caucuses have a specific speaking time and a specific number of delegates. So, for example, a moderated caucus with a total of 10 minutes of time and 1 minute speaking time per delegate would have 10 speakers allowed to speak in that moderated caucus. In addition, moderated caucuses always have topics. So when you're in a committee, you're going to have a topic for your entire resolution. And that is going to be the main topic you are debating throughout the entire conference. The thing is, within a moderated caucus, you're talking about more specific topics. So you're talking about parts of that. Then you have something called unmoderated caucuses, and that's going to be where you get the majority of your resolution writing done. In unmoderated caucuses, you're free to move around the room or breakout rooms if you're using Zoom, and you are free to talk to other delegates, discuss with them whether or not you think that they have the same ideals as you or different ideals. In unmoderated caucus, that's your chance to figure out who in the room you'd be willing to work with and you believe can add to your strengths to make a great resolution. So now let's talk about resolutions. Resolutions, quite simply, are the end point of a Model UN committee. And what resolutions are is that they are a document outlining your list of solutions, the list of solutions you as well as others in your group or your block have created throughout the committee. And resolutions are the end point of committee. So they are what your goal is, technically, and they are what you are going to be working towards throughout the committee, writing strong resolutions, editing those resolutions, and just generally having a good resolution to present and hopefully get passed by the entire committee. In the next part, we'll be talking more about how each of these work, as well as going into some rules of procedure. So how to motion, for example, or how to ask the chair a question. All right, so one of the most confusing things in Model UN for new delegates is often, what is a motion? How do I continue the flow of committee instead of just being kind of a passenger as other people motion and make points? And so what you want to do in committee is you want to be the one controlling the flow of committee, so to speak. You never want to be overly assertive or try to exert dominance necessarily, but what you do want to do is be guiding the committee to a place that you want to do it. And the best way to do this is through motions. So When you have a chair, the chair is not going to just declare that you have an unmoderated caucus now and a moderated caucus later. Instead, the chair is going to follow something called Robert's Rules of Order. And Robert's Rules are a set of ways to participate in pretty much anything from the United States Congress uses a modification of Robert's Rules to a lot of state governments, local boards, school boards, committees, a lot of different organizations, and in general, formal meetings use variations on Robert's Rules of Order. And all of those, or most of those at least, have the same things like speakers lists, moderated caucuses, and unmoderated caucuses. So the way Robert's Rules of Order works is that in each time you want to do something in committee, some delegate has to motion to do that. So if you want to move into a moderated caucus, then you can motion to go into a moderated caucus. And the way that would work is you raise something called your placard, which is just a sheet of paper you'll get that has your country's name written on it. You raise your placard and you say, "I move to have a moderated caucus." Let's say I want a 10-minute speaking time for that moderated caucus and 1 minute, 1 minute speakers. So each speaker will have 1 minute to talk, and the total moderated caucus will be 10 minutes long. And let's say the topic, for example, is universal healthcare. So you can move for to talk about, for example, the hidden costs of universal healthcare, or you could move to talk about the feasibility of passing a universal healthcare plan and or the feasibility of paying for that universal healthcare plan. So there are a lot of different options for what you can do for a moderated caucus, but in general, it can just be any subtopic of the issue you're debating. And so, since you'll usually be representing a country, what you want to do is you want to motion for moderated caucuses that are in your country's interests. So, for example, if the topic is international drone strikes and you are Russia, you don't want to talk about why drone strikes are bad and should be banned. You want to talk about the powerful and good force drone strikes can be in helping keep international policing and saving the world from criminals or terrorists. So, in general, you use motions from moderated caucuses to steer the flow of debate. If this is all a bit confusing to you, I promise it won't be as confusing if you join a Moderated UN conference and if you take part in that. So I would strongly encourage you, if you haven't done it already, go back to my previous episode and just listen to that and then figure out which conference you want to sign up for. There are a ton of options, even free options that you can sign up for and will be incredibly interesting in putting all of this in order and figuring out how to do this in real life. So, when you're motioning for a moderated caucus, usually what's going to happen is a few different people motion for different things. So you might have two people motioning for different moderated caucuses. One person motions for one subtopic, the other person motions for another subtopic, and then you have a third person that's motioning for an unmoderated caucus. And so the deal with this is that unmoderated caucuses are considered more disruptive to committee than moderated caucuses are, which makes sense because they require everyone get up and start talking. And the longer a moderated caucus is, the more disruptive it is because it takes more time out of committee. So an interesting thing in Robert's Rules of Order is that motions aren't presented in the order they are spoken or the order that they are given. They are presented in the order that is most disruptive to least disruptive. So you will hear this a lot from your chairs, and it sounds like a weird, complicated term, but really it's really simple. The thing is, you just go with whatever is most disruptive to the flow of committee and vote on that first. And then if that fails, you move on to voting on less disruptive things. So a lot of delegates are confused as to why, if they propose the first motion and that's not getting voted on first, that is why. In the next part, we'll be talking more about just the general flow of committee and how you get to that stage of resolution writing, as well as talking a bit more about writing a resolution, which we will go into more in a future episode. Stay tuned. All right, so we're back, and we're going to be talking more about the general flow of committee. So I mentioned before that resolutions are the endpoint of committee. And so the question is, how do you get to that endpoint? So here's the way committee usually shakes out. At the start, with things like speakers lists and the first few moderated caucuses, you're really getting an idea for what everyone's thoughts and point of view is. So you are getting an idea for what their opinions are, what they think of committee, and what their perspective on the issue is. And that's going to be super important later on. And so what you're doing at the start of committee is you're trying to show that you have a lot of passion and you have those thoughts and ideas that are going to be included in the final resolution. So what you want to do before committee when you're prepping is sort of have a plan for explaining to the committee exactly what your thoughts and ideas are and why they are special and unique because of your perspective. So a really interesting way I've seen this done is that when a lot of delegates are disappointed that they get smaller or less influential countries, some of them decide to make a lot of their work designed around being a small country and working together with other small countries who don't have as much power on a global scale. And so I've seen this in a lot of very interesting ways, but the way it usually works is that there is some talk about, for example, nuclear weapons, and small countries talk about how it disproportionately impacts them because they don't have access to nuclear weapons and can't practice the mutual deterrence that more powerful countries can. And so that's a really good example of how small countries are able to show that they have a unique perspective that, for example, the United States, the United Kingdom, or Russia are not really able to have. And so in a lot of ways, you can show how your perspective and solutions are unique and how you're going to implement them in that way. So that's the first thing at the very beginning of committee. But as committee goes on, what generally happens is that people use unmoderated caucuses to establish their ideas, as well as to form blocks with others who they believe think similarly to them. And so the thing about blocks is that everyone in your block does not have to have the same ideas. In fact, if they do have the same ideas, that's probably a bad thing. Instead, you want your block to be diverse, but in general have the same country values. So you want your block to generally either oppose or support the topic, or have a similar position on the topic, whereas they might have different solutions and ideas for how to solve that topic. So that's a really interesting thing about blocks, is that you can really get together with a lot of different countries who have very different perspectives on the issue, as long as your values and your positions are relatively similar. So what happens throughout the middle of committee is that these blocks begin to evolve and also solidify. So the thing about resolutions being the culmination of committee is you need to start working on resolutions a lot earlier than you would otherwise think you do. So around a third way through committee, it depends on the conference, but around a third through committee, you're going to start having to write your ideas down on paper. And usually that just starts with a simple brainstorm. Everyone looks at the ideas that they have placed and talked about in the minds of the committee, and they write those down onto a brainstorm document, even a Google Docs or just a physical sheet of paper, depending on where you are and what your conference thinks of technology. And these at the start of committee or in the middle of committee usually happen in unmoderated caucuses where everyone is just talking and getting their ideas down on paper. Moderated caucuses then are ways for you to show how you as well as your bloc are different than other blocs. And then in unmoderated caucuses, you want to stand out within your own bloc. You want to show why your ideas are interesting and different, and why you and your ideas deserve a lot of space, or not necessarily space, but a lot of weight in the resolution that you are proposing. So, as you start to get further on through committee, as people start to propose more unmoderated caucuses and less moderated caucuses, what's going to happen is that your chairs start expecting you to wrap up those resolutions of yours. So there's a very specific way resolutions are formatted, and I'll definitely go into resolutions fully on a future episode pretty soon. But the interesting thing about resolutions is that they have a lot of flexibility for the kind of ideas that can go in them. They can be very short or very long, they can be involved, or they can superficially designate a lot of tasks to subcommittees. And all of that is okay, and all of that still makes for an interesting resolution if your resolution is worded well and has strong action on solutions. So, as you start getting your resolutions finished and submitted, you start moving into more moderated caucuses, where the biggest thing is resolution similarity and clash. And those are words that you might not know within the context of Model UN, but what you're trying to do is explain why your resolution should be voted for, but you don't want to come off as my resolution is superior, yours sucks. You want to build coalitions with other blocks to make sure that your resolution passes once voting begins. And above all, you want to show that your ideas are powerful and strong and are going to make for great solutions. So as this mod unmod thing kind of wraps up, you start moving into voting procedure. And the thing about voting procedure is, as everything else, it requires a motion. So usually someone will motion into moving into formal caucus, which is a fancy word for just presenting your resolutions. And this is where a lot of debate within your own block comes in, because a lot of different people who have worked on the resolution want to be part of presenting or going up in front of the entire committee and talking about that resolution. And so there might be conflict there, and the best way to do that is just get experience into being diplomatic and being well-liked by the members of your committee, but being assertive when you need to. And that is definitely something that comes with just experience doing Model UN, which is why, again, I would so strongly recommend you go to that previous episode and just look at the wealth of Model UN conferences you have available, and possibly talk to your school if they already have a Model UN club that you can go to. So once you have agreed and debated on who your presenters are going to be, each block or group sends up a few presenters to just talk about their resolution and take any questions that other people may have. And this is usually a 10-minute process for each block, so it can stretch from half an hour to an hour, depending on how many blocks you have and how big they are. But what generally ends up happening is that blocks are kind of on a scale on two extremes. And a lot of the blocks in the middle will usually get more support than some of the blocks, which might be smaller on the edges. But when you're presenting, you just want to make the very best case for why your resolution should be considered by the committee and should be accepted by the entire committee. And then comes maybe the most nerve-wracking part of MUN, which is voting procedure. So your entire committee is going to vote on each resolution that comes through. And usually there will be around from anywhere between two resolutions for a small committee to seven or eight or even nine for a quite big committee. And when your committee votes on resolutions, they can pass as many resolutions as they want. Usually, hopefully, they don't conflict with each other directly, but generally what happens is that a few resolutions get passed, around half of them, and a few resolutions fail. And what happens is that it's simply a majority vote to pass. You move into voting procedure, the chair asks everyone who supports to raise their hands, everyone who is against to raise their hands, and then everyone else who is abstaining to raise their hands at the end. And that is it. That is the culmination of a Model UN process. It may seem really daunting and difficult, but in general, it's something that you get very used to with time, and it's a process that becomes almost second nature once you've done a few conferences. So, for the last time, I encourage you, do a conference. Go to any conference that you might be interested in. Participate in any committee you want. Do some research and go into there and have fun. And you will enjoy it, I promise. Anyways, thank you for listening to this episode. We hope you had a good time and you follow on whatever platform you're on, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, any platform. And I appreciate your time so much. Let me know if you have any questions on my Instagram account at GavelTalk or any suggestions for future episodes, or you want to be a guest speaker on the podcast. Thank you so much for listening, and bye-bye.